The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 18, Text Number 7, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 2nd, 2008, in Heidelberg, Germany.
So today we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto Number 5, Chapter 18. The residents of Jambudvip offer prayers, Text Number 7.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hari Varshe Chappi Bhagavan Narahari Rupanashte Tadrupa Grahana Mitam Mutaratrat Vijapshase Tandayatang Rupang Mahapurusha Guna Bhajana Maha Bhagavata Daitya Dhanavakula Tirta Karana Shila Charita Prahlado Vyavadana Nanya Bhakti Yogena Sahatad Varsha Purushair Upaste Idang Chyoto Harati.
Translation. Shukadev Goswami continued. My dear King, Lord Nrisimhadev resides in the tract of land known as Hari Varsha. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I shall describe to you how Prahlad Maharaj caused the Lord to assume the form of Nrisimhadev. Prahlad Maharaj, the topmost devotee of the Lord, is a reservoir of all the good qualities of great personalities. His character and activities have delivered the fallen members of his demoniac family. Lord Nrisimhadev is very dear to this exalted personality. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj, along with his servants and all the denizens of Hari Varsha, worships Lord Nrisimhadev by chanting the following mantra. Jayadeva Goswami's 10 prayers worshipping the incarnations of Lord Krishna Keshava contain his name in every stanza. For example,
Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Re Keshavadrita Meena Sharira Jai Jagadisha Re and Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jai Jagadisha Re.
The word Jagadisha refers to the proprietor of all the universes. His original form is the two-handed form of Lord Krishna standing with a flute in his hands and engaged in tending the cows. As stated in the Brahma Sanghita,
Chintamani prakara sadma sukalpa vriksha Lakshavriteshu shurabira vipalayantam Lakshmi sahasra shata sambrama sevyamanam Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who was tending the cows, yielding all desires in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. From this verse, we learn that Govinda or Krishna is the Adi Purusha, the original person. The Lord has innumerable incarnations exactly like the innumerable waves of a flowing river. But the original form is Krishna or Keshava. Shukadeva Goswami refers to Nrisimhadev because of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was put into great distress by his powerful demon father, Hiranyakashipu. Apparently helpless before him, Prahlad Maharaj called on the Lord, who immediately assumed the gigantic form of Nrisimhadev, half lion and half man, to kill the gigantic demon. Although Krishna is the original person, one without a second, he assumes different forms just to satisfy his devotees or to execute a specific purpose. Therefore, Jayadev Goswami always repeats the name of Keshava, the original personality of Godhead, in his prayers describing the Lord's different incarnations for different purposes.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
This is significant. Every time, as Prabhupada is pointing out, it's a very significant point. Every time, instead of just singing the name of the particular incarnation again, he always says, Keshava Drita. He says, Keshava, but how's it going here? Keshava Drita. Keshava Drita, that's right, Keshava Drita. Every time, Keshava, 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 which is the name for Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. So the point is, it's Krishna every time. Some people who are Buddha, they say, why are you people always putting forward Krishna? You see, this is your bias. You see, you, because you are Hare Krishna people, you want to establish that Krishna is the supreme. So you're always putting forward Krishna. But this is not our invention. You see. Great Vedic authorities have also, that's why we are doing, not because we are the Hare Krishna people. We want to put forward Krishna. Some people, some foolish Hindus say we are like born again Christians. You see. Fanatic. About Krishna. But no, we are following the pathway of the great acharyas. Mahajano yena gatasya panta. We are following these great acharyas. You see. If one wants actually to achieve perfection, you cannot deviate from the acharyas. And since the acharyas have already blazed the trail through the pathway of this, I mean to say, through, they have created a pathway in this dense, dark, deep forest of delusion. Wouldn't it be stupid to try to make our own way out of this forest without taking help of these great acharyas? Wouldn't that be a stupid thing to do? If you're dying of thirst and you're in hunger in the forest, you can't find your way to civilization. And somebody comes who knows the way, wouldn't you follow them? Doesn't that make sense? You say, no, I'm independent. I will blaze my own trail out of the wilderness. That'd be absolutely stupid. Completely idiotic thing to do. If you're dying of thirst and hunger in the forest, and a great acharya comes, a person who actually knows the pathway out of the forest back to the spiritual dimension, the intelligent thing to do is you follow that person. So the great acharyas have all confirmed, and Jayadeva Goswami is also one of the great acharyas. He is confirmed. Therefore, with each and every incarnation, he's saying, Keshava Drita, Keshava Drita, Keshava Drita. This is Krishna, Keshava, in every case. So the Bhagavatam confirms it, the Bhagavad Gita confirms it, Jayadeva Goswami confirms it, even Shankaracharya, who is Lord Shiva's incarnation for the purpose of bewildering the living entities of this age. Even he confirms it, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, who is that fool, you see, who will not accept? Mogasha moga karmano, moga jnana vichetataha, rakshasim masarim chaiva, pakritta mohanim shritaha. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by atheistic and demoniac views. In that deluded condition, their hopes of liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated, finished. You see? And who is Krishna referring to in this verse? Text number 12, you see. Who is he referring to? The previous verse, Avajanandi mang muda manushin tandamakshutang parang bhava majananda mamabhuta maheshvaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So such persons do not accept the supremacy of Krishna. They are bewildered. Their so-called culture of knowledge, whether it's through scientific experiment like the material scientists or mental speculation like the jnanis, the same thing. They're in the same category. The jnanis and the scientists are in the same position. Why? Because they are devoid of bhakti. It doesn't matter if one is connected with Vedas, the other is not. They are both an illusion. Their so-called connection with the Vedas will not save them. Even they speculate so expertly that they can merge into impersonal Brahman. What does Bhagavatam say? Patanti yadho. They fall down again into this material whirlpool. So what is the advantage? You see? Their intelligence is impure. Avishuddhi, avishuddha buddha. And their liberation, how is that described? What is their vimukti described as by Bhagavatam? Vimukti maninas. It is simply in the mind only. It's in their head only. It's not real. Their liberation is not real. Simply a dream. They're dreaming that they're liberated. Their Sayuja Mukti is a dream only. It's not real liberation. Although it's listed as one of the five types of liberation, it's not real liberation. I know a practical example I sometimes give. When I was a young brahmachari back in 1972 in our Dallas temple, there was one prisoner who wanted to come for the Sunday feast. And he was in a low security prison, so they gave him a pass for the day, the Sunday love feast pass. It's Texas prison system. Gave him a special pass to come out of the prison for so many hours, come to the Sunday love feast. So I drove about 20 miles out of town to the low security prison. I picked him up, brought him to the feast, and I took him back that evening to the prison again. So, he may be thinking, now I'm liberated, you see. Now I am liberated. Of course he was, because he was at Lord Chaitanya's. He was dancing and standing in front of Lord Chaitanya, so he was liberated in that sense. But this is a mundane example. Somebody gets out on a pass from the prison, you see, for a few hours. They're not really liberated, even though they appear to be. You understand? He's out of the walls of the prison, but yet he's still tied to the prison. When the time is up, yeah. The watch ties him, that's right. Yeah. So, In the same way, the Jnani, he's simply out on a weekend pass, that's all, from the cycle of birth and death. He gets to a little weekend pass, he gets to stick his head up into the Parabrahma and have a look around, you see. Because he doesn't look, he thinks, at that point he thinks he has no, I am not existing, I have no seeing power, I have no hearing power. In that way, that's his so-called look around, you see. It's a non-look. He can't see, he can't hear, he can't taste, he can't feel, etc. That is the Jnani's position. He's imagined the position. He wants the denial of these things. They are false. You see? So he comes back again to the material existence after his karma that allowed him a little foray into the spiritual existence has run out. And back he comes. Patanti, though, they fall back again. So these speculators who want to think that Krishna is not really the supreme, it's something else is really the supreme. The nameless, formless Brahman is actually the supreme. Their position is very shaky, very unstable position. And similarly, if we don't take seriously this process of bhakti, we may laugh at the foolish jnanis, you see. But if we remain attached to material sense gratification, we're in the same boat. It's called the cycle of birth and death. Just because we have tilak on the nose and kanti mala around the neck, you see, doesn't mean that we're liberated. Sorry, but I have to say the fact. If we think just by getting initiated, just by having tilak and neck beads, that I'm saved, then we're just like born again, we're just like Christians, you see. I accepted Jesus, so now I'm saved. You see. It's not such a simple thing, not such a superficial thing. You see. Because I accepted Guru, now I'm saved. No. One has to follow the instructions. When Prabhupada told us that deathlessness begins at initiation, he says, if you follow the instructions. So that we have to see, am I actually following the instructions? Of course, the four regulated principles, some people can follow those. Of course, some people have a hard time following them. Some people can follow them, but is that finished? Business finished? No, we have to chant the holy name without offense also. That's when we really get into the subtle aspects of Krishna consciousness. Many people, you know, there's quite a few people are able to successfully follow the four regulated principles. But how many can chant the holy name without offense? See, that's the next stage. Once you're fixed in following the four regulated principles, now you have to think, how can I get rid of these 10 offenses? Nama Parad. So that's a whole lifetime of work, you see. Then gradually, it's subtle contaminations. This namaparadi nature is sitting in the heart. It's a whole lifetime of work, how to get rid of that namaparadi tendency. Krishna aparadi, Vaishnava aparadi tendency. That's our nature. We've been so long in the material world, we are aparadis by nature now. We've acquired an aparadi nature. So we have to turn it around. We have to turn it around and become pure. So that's what we're doing. That's why we get up for Mangalarti every day. That's why we worship Tulsi every day. That's why we offer worship to Srila Prabhupada. That's why we hear the Bhagavatam. That's why we chant our japa. That's why we take prasadam only. All of these things that we are doing are meant to gradually purify our consciousness more and more. Will become completely pure. You see. Premanjana chadita bhakti valochanena santaksa daivarhideyeshu valokayanti yang shamushundaramachin yoganasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Through we can see Krishna within and without. It's not an easy thing to do that, to wake up to our original spiritual identity. It's not an easy thing. Difficult. For the neophyte, it is difficult. That's a fact. So we have to rise beyond the neophyte platform. That we have to do. We have to learn how to rise beyond the neophyte platform. That's why the association of devotees is so important. Because if we're left on our own, we'll just sleep, isn't it? Just sleep. It's our nature. Sleep, sleep. Eat, sleep, mate, and defend. But in the association of devotees, we can transcend the lower nature. We can come to the higher platform based on hearing, chanting, remembering, and serving the Lord. We can come to this higher platform. So, that being said, I can ask if there's any questions.
Shastras, it is mostly stressed that Vishnu is the Supreme God. And even we see that Sri Sampradaya they follow, they say that Vishnu is the main person and that Krishna is incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
So actually we have a small group of Lord Chaitanya followers who follow that, who know that Krishna is actually the Supreme.
We also say Vishnu is the Supreme. We have no disagreement. We are called Vaishnavas. You know the meaning of the word Vaishnava? Vaishnava means devotee of Vishnu. We have no disagreement. We accept that Vishnu is the Supreme. One simply has to know what are the different forms of Vishnu. That's all. And there's Vishnu at the office and there's Vishnu at home. You understand? When Vishnu is at the office, he has on forearms to do so many activities. But when he goes home, he leaves the other two arms at the door, at the in the closet. And there's Vishnu at home, that is Krishna. They just know Vishnu at the office, that's all. So we're not really going to argue with them. That's just the level that they've advanced to. They know God at the office, they don't know him at home. So they have a relationship that he's the supreme boss. That's all they know is he's our boss. We are das and he is boss. That's all they know. But those who have gotten the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, they're able to go home with them. Leave the office. When the boss goes home, they can go home with him and be one of his intimate family members. There's no reason to argue with them, disturb their minds. There's no reason. They just haven't, they're not advanced enough to be able to go home with Krishna. They're not that intimate. They're good employees. They're completely loyal, dedicated, first-class employees, no doubt. But just look at a given corporation. There's thousands of loyal, dedicated, hard-working, well-rewarded, appreciated employees, but how many of them in the evening go home with the boss to be one of his intimate family members, to have dinner with him, to have some recreation with him? How many of them do that? maybe no one. But those who do, it's a very inner circle. So the Krishna Bhakta is there, that special inside circle. So there's no reason to argue with them. Because Krishna is Vishnu also. He is Vishnu. Vishnu is the Supreme. We happen to know what he looks like when he's at home. We happen to know what Vishnu likes to be called when he's at home with his intimate friends and family members. They don't. They just know Vishnu, Mr. Boss. Yes, Mr. Boss, whatever you say, Mr. Boss, we are loyal, dedicated servants of you, Mr. Boss. But someone who is very intimate, they say, has a special relationship, Krishna. You see. They have a special pass, special elite status, you see. Just like on the airline, there are many people who fly the airlines. But some people who fly the airlines more, you see, they get special elite card, elite status. It gives them all kinds of privileges that normal passengers don't have, you see. So the normal passengers, they are Vishnu Bhaktas. Those with the special elite card, they are the Krishna Bhaktas. They're all flying, everyone is flying on the airplane, Krishna plane. But the elite passengers, they have special status, you see. Special status that the others don't have. But the airline company doesn't want to discourage any of them. They're all encouraged as being good passengers, but they give special extra perks to the elite passengers. So the Krishna Bhaktas, they are the special, they are the elite, special elite devotees who are given special privileges and special access. You see, that the general Bhaktas don't get. Does that answer your question? Any other question?
Mm-hmm. So we see that even in the Vedic culture, in this elevated culture, not everybody was following the highest process, only few.
In Vedic culture?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they had much more culture, training, and so on. So in our movement, we try to take everybody on this platform, but we also should understand that actually not everybody's.
No, we just want to engage everyone in Krishna's service. Some people are not qualified to be initiated, you see. Let them serve. They're not able to strictly follow the regulated principles. They try and they try and they try. Just let them do some service. Not that you have to be on the highest standard to be able to follow all these principles, become initiated, to be engaged in this movement. Let everyone be engaged. Even if they can't follow all the principles, we want everyone to come and render service to Lord Chaitanya. Why should we think, well, if they can't follow the regulated principles, they're useless, get out of here? No. Let everyone come, chant Hare Krishna, be happy, dance in bliss, take prasadam till it's coming out of their ears. You know. And if some of them are just, they just can't give up their cigarettes, they just can't give up their illicit sex, they're still welcome to be members of our movement. Just they can't take diksha, that's all. Diksha, that's for those who are Brahmins. You see, especially those who can act as Brahmin. They are meant for diksha. They are the spiritual leaders of the society. Let everyone become a part. But those who can follow the principles, they become the spiritual leaders. You see. But it's not that someone should want to be a leader who can't follow the principles. That's the main thing. Leader means he must follow the principles. Not that I'm smoking cigarettes and I want to be seen as the big leader. You see, the devotees, no. Leader, that's those who are strictly following. So now everyone is welcome to come and join our movement. But, you know, for diksha, we have to draw, it has to be strict. But not every, it's not that only if you're not initiated, you're useless, no. It's like George Harrison, he never got initiated, but he Prabhupada appreciated him so much what he had done for this movement. And he did very valuable service for this movement. Does that answer your question? Good.
At the same time, the real Bhajana Kriya actually starts after the initiation and Ananta Nivriti.
Yes, real Bhajana Kriya happens with initiation, that's right. But there are two levels before that, and they are also, one becomes purified at those levels too. Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha, they are making great advancement. Anyone who is having faith in this process and associating with devotees, are they not making progress? Yes, they are making great progress. And gradually they will progress until they can come to Bhajana Kriya also, maybe in a future lifetime. But they are also progressing. Those first, don't underestimate the great power and potency of Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha. They are very powerful. Very, very powerful. Even without Bhajana Kriya, if they just have faith in this process, even though they can't follow it, and they continue to associate with devotees, they will make great progress. Yes.
I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
Because Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says that those devotees who preach this knowledge to other devotees, they are the most dear to him.
Yes.
Can you explain why this is the case?
Why they are the most dear? Actually, Krishna is very much, especially in his form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is greatly disturbed to see that his beloved children, his parts and parcels, are caught up in karma chakra. It is very, very disturbing thing to him how much his children are suffering in this material existence. So anyone who takes up the mission of trying to save those beloved children of the Lord from their horrible condition, naturally it become very dear. Just imagine a parent whose child has gone missing. The child went to school one day, and on his way home he disappeared. That no one has any idea where the child is. So let's say the next door neighbor of the parents, he takes his mission to help those parents find their missing child, and he dedicates every spare minute he has, day after day after day, looking to find that missing child. Don't you think he would become very dear to them? And especially if he actually finds their child and returns their child to them. We can just imagine how dear that next door neighbor would be. So you have to understand what it means to Krishna when someone takes up this preaching mission. Why he satisfies, there will never be a person more dear to me than he who takes up saving this mission of trying to save the fallen conditioned soul. It is natural. If a parent has lost his children and someone tries to save his children, it is a natural sentiment that that parent will feel greatly indebted and greatly, greatly appreciative of that person who is trying to save the lost child of that parent. Therefore, there is no one more dear to Krishna than the one who preaches. Any other questions?
Can I ask one more related to this? Mm-hmm. But Krishna is Atmaram.
Mm-hmm.
He is self-sufficient. So why he is in distress?
Yes, that is part of his Ram. That is part of his pleasure. It is called labor of love. Just like for a millionaire, or a multi-billionaire, better example. His money, managing his money is a big headache. He has to constantly worry about the stock market prices, worry about the competition, worry about the government. So many anxieties he had. You say, my dear Mr. Billionaire, I have an easy solution. Just give all your money to me, then you won't have any anxiety. He says, oh, no. I love my billions of dollars. You see, even though it's so much anxiety for him, you see. So, for the billionaire, just as for the billionaire, his billions of dollars are a great source of anxiety and also his greatest love, his greatest enjoyment. So for Krishna, that anxiety of how to save his fallen souls, that is part of his enjoyment. He could just kill them all and annihilate them and merge them into Brahman if he wanted to. And have no more anxiety about the fallen conditioned soul. Just kill them. Extinguish them. Merge them all permanently into impersonal Brahman. Won't have to worry about him anymore. No. No, Krishna enjoys actually that anxiety and how to get them back. It's love, you see. It's loving relationship. It's painful, but it's he would not give up that pain. That pain actually brings satisfaction to him. That loving feeling he has for his parts and parcels, that gives him great satisfaction. He would not want to give up that loving feeling, even if it sometimes means it's a source of pain for him. Because he knows that sooner or later they'll come back and the pain will be over. Yeah?
Once I read in Srimad Bhagavatam in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said that our suffering is due to, because Krishna is suffering, you know, because...
Thoughtfulness?
Our suffering.
Suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Our suffering is because, actually we caused Krishna suffering, you know, by not...
Yes.
Being with him. Can you explain this?
Because we're causing pain in Krishna.
Yes.
Now
this is connected.
Yes, if you cause Krishna to suffer, then you must suffer also naturally. Don't you have that experience? You have some close friend and you said some offensive thing to them and their feelings were hurt. Didn't you feel bad? Because they're feeling bad, don't you feel bad? So the same thing. If you make Krishna unhappy, you will naturally be unhappy. And if you please Krishna, same thing with Guru. If we please our Guru, then we become so happy. Oh, Guru Maharaj, I please my Guru Maharaj. And if Guru Maharaj is greatly displeased, oh, no matter what you do, you know, you can't be happy. Because your Guru Maharaj is displeased. You see? So one has to become very expert in how to please Krishna. How to please Guru, how to please Vaishnavas. With every thought, with every word, and with every deed, at every minute, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. This is called Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? Everything is clearly understood now. There's no confusion, delusion, illusion. The Krishna Son, Krishnesva Dhammapagate Dharma Gyanadivisaha. That Krishna Son is fully illuminating your heart now, driving away all the
illusions. No, unfortunately not. So, can you tell us the secret of how to please the Vaishnavas?
How to please the Vaishnavas? You serve them with love, that's all. What is the difficulty? And if you have no love, then serve as if you had the love. And that love, which you do have locked within you, it will come out. Even if you feel no loving tendency in your heart, serve as if you felt love, like an actress on the stage. Go through the motions of doing it in a nice way, even if you don't feel that way. And the genuine loving feeling that was actually buried in your heart right now, it's sitting there beneath the surface, it'll come bursting out through all the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy which is covering it. It's called devotional service and practice. Even if the feelings aren't there yet because we're not fully on the transcendental platform, we do it anyway. We do it, try to do it in as loving as possible way. We make that sincere endeavor. Whatever we do, our japa, offering obeisances, you know, serving the devotees, everything, try to do it in the most genuine, sincere way that you can possibly muster. And by doing that, you'll burn off the accumulated karma for millions of lifetimes. Burning it off, the contamination. And the natural pure bhakti will become manifest. Questions more? Completely satisfied now? No problem. Ready to dedicate the whole life to revolutionizing the planet? All hesitations finished. Yes, we must make revolution. That's Prabhupada's order. Especially, he said, you American and European disciples, you see. He said, now you become perfect in understanding this Krishna consciousness and you deliver the whole world. The specific order Prabhupada gave to my American and European disciples. you become perfect to understand and then in this philosophy and you deliver the whole world, you see. So it's a big responsibility. You saw the Europeans and American countries, they're leading the world, technology, etc., communication, etc. So now let them lead the world in Krishna Bhakti. Let them lead the whole world in Krishna Bhakti. That was his vision. So that's the order that Prabhupada has given. Now we have to follow. We have to become perfect in understanding Krishna consciousness and we have to deliver the whole world. That is our duty. We cannot just sit comfortably in our ashram getting fat on chapatis. Big stacks of chapatis. We have to eat whatever we need to give us energy to fight with Maya, to defeat the rascals, the rascal civilization. Prabhupada told us, he said, now the whole world is being managed by rogues and demons. He says, now you make your life perfect and you take the management. He wants us to lead the whole world. Why just some little ashram? Or some movement with 300 temples. Prabhupada wants us to lead the whole world. You see, we have to become the leaders of this planet. That's our duty. Actually, it will happen. That day will come when we, the members of this movement, whether it's us or a future generation, that day will come when we, in fact, will lead the entire world out of chaos. And the golden era will come fully manifest. That day will come. Now, when it will come, that's up to us. How purely we are willing to practice our sadhana on a minute-by-minute basis. How purely we are willing to practice it. It's up to us. Anything else? Question?
Lord Chaitanya said that to the people born in India, they have to make their life successful then. Preach this message, and Prabhupada gave this order to the Western and European and American disciples. So can you?
There were no Indians in ISKCON then, that's why. The Indians had not come yet, only I think Gopal Krishna Maharaj had come and Sunita Maharaji had come in New York. So far as at that time, I think there was only two Indians in our home movement. It was practically none. Of course, and you can hear those early lectures in India. Prabhupada was trying to induce the Indian boys, even in preaching in India. There was no Indians, it was all Americans in the temples and Europeans. So at that time, the movement was European American movement, devotees. The Prabhupada, that order is meant for all the devotees because actually the Indians were already ordered to do that. Prabhupada is simply adding the Americans and Europeans to the list. Lord Chaitanya already ordered that all Indians must deliver the world. So, Prabhupada simply, expanded it. That's all. The first order was given 500 years ago to the Indians. That you were born in India, now you must become perfect in understanding Krishna consciousness and deliver the whole world. That order was already given to the Indians directly by Lord Chaitanya. But Prabhupada understood the Mahabharata, the greater India. See, the planet, formerly this whole planet was India. Germany was part of India. The U.S. was part of India. It was all part of Indian culture. You read in the how that when Pariksit Maharaj was there, hearing Bhagavatam, there was a sage who came from Europe. It mentioned there was a sage that came from the European side. He was sitting there in that assembly of sages. You see. So, formerly this Vedic culture went over the entire planet. So actually we're all Indian.
So the Vedic culture, as Prabhu was mentioning, that Vedic culture was not allowing everybody to take up Krishna Bhakti.
No one was restricted. Vedic culture, only the smarter Brahmins are restricted. That's why the Muslims took over. That's why the Muslims became predominant, more predominant. The Vedic culture that is pushing everyone towards Krishna bhakti. Pushing. Come on. That's Vedic culture. He made it easier.
Yeah.
It was formerly more difficult. First, if you wanted to get the mercy, you had to surrender first. That was the old system. But Lord Chaitanya made it very easy. That you, here's the mercy. Qualification, no qualification, that's all right. Here's the mercy, take it. And those who took it, they became pure devotees. Not that you have to become a pure devotee to get the mercy. No, here's the mercy first. Now you become pure devotee. Okay? Any other questions? Yes?
In this connection, I'm wondering, because we can see from the cultural background, you know, the Indian people, they are much more nice, well behaved, have also some understanding, you know, of devoting, you know.
Yes, they have some culture. Culture, although they're losing it now. The modern generation of India, it's becoming very degraded. It's very, very, very degraded now, what's happening in India. They're completely imitating the Westerners now. They're having, the college girls are all becoming prostitutes. Just like hippie girls, you know, prostitutes. Becoming very degraded at the present time in India. But yeah, we do see that still that sign is that we do see the high quality, high level of behavior is there in India even to this day. It's still very prominent. The high class way of behavior is still there. It hasn't completely destroyed yet. It's still going on. Just like my disciple. He was not my disciple then, but he was working in the U.S. For a nice job with IBM Corporation. And then his parents said, okay, son, we have your wife picked out, come back to India and get married. And there was no dating, there was no associating with girls, you see. Just do your job. And when the parents say, okay, we have your wife picked out, come back home, for the wedding ceremony, that was it. There was no question of choosing a wife. See, even that's still going on today in India. There's no question of choosing your own wife. You just be a loyal son, and that's it. You loyal son. And when the parents say, okay, son, here's your wife. All right. Thank you, mom and dad. Now I got my wife. You see? So we see, even in India, the arranged marriages are still going on very nicely in certain quarters of India, certain parts of India, very nicely going on. Arranged marriages still going on.
But this morality and good behavior is useless without Krishna consciousness. That's what disastrous is.
Krishna consciousness what?
Without Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, all these things are useless. They have their arranged marriages, but then they just have illicit sex through the whole life. And the children are Varna Sankara, so what's the use? It's a vain. Even what's the use of an arranged marriage if you don't know how to practice Krishna consciousness? You see, better to be Krishna conscious, and that's the best thing, even if you don't have an arranged marriage. The best thing is to be Krishna conscious. Somehow or other, that will make everything perfect. What's he saying, Devi?
How to communicate with one another?
Yes.
By shastras, if you make
by
some
shastric,
from Bhagavatam or something.
By shastric quotes, can you give some examples that how the devotee should communicate?
Machchita mangata prana bodhiyanda parasparam katayantaschamam nityam tashyanti chavamanti cha.
I asked this because sometimes
feel that I don't know how to do this sometimes.
Sometimes he feels dry because sometimes he likes to communicate with the devotees, but he does not know how to communicate or say things to them, how to be enlightening.
Oh, it's a matter of... you speak German?
No.
What is your language?
Croatian.
Croatian. Yeah. Well, I mean, what is everybody... Everybody here speaks German or they speak English either way?
English, I understand.
What's the best language here, German or English?
German.
German?
English. Everybody communicates like yeah. Last night I saw
them. So you have to, it's a simple thing. It's a simple material thing. You just have to study German language. That's all. You have to find a special course for Croatian people, how to become expert in German. That's all.
But also, if I'm in Croatia, also the same problem actually.
He's asking for himself how he can communicate with the devotees.
Oh, even in the Croatian devotees you have problem.
Maybe it's problem in me, but okay, please.
It's not talking about language, you're talking about psychology then.
Yeah, communicating with the devotees.
Well, I can tell you the easy way to, if you wanted to be able to get your message across, you have to follow the pathway delineated by Srila Prabhupada Sarasvati. If you will follow his pathway, then you will be effective communicator. Do you know the method given by Prabhupada Sarasvati? It's a very nice method. You may know. When you find that person with which you want to get your message across, you must fall down at their feet and fly to them 100 times. That, my dear sir, you're full of all virtuous qualities, you're a great sadhu, this and that. 100 times you have to flatter with straw in the teeth. In Vedic culture, a straw in the teeth is a sign of great humility. So you must put a straw in your teeth, fall flat on the ground at their feet, and just glorify them like anything. And they finally say, okay, what do you want? Tell me what you want to say. You see. That's what he's given, is the preaching method, how to approach anyone and get your message across. So the same thing with devotees. We have to be very humble. If you want people to listen to you, then you have to learn how to listen to them. You see? How many mouths did God give you? He gave you one mouth. And how many ears he gave you? He gave you two ears. That means you have to listen twice as much as you speak. You see? You have to be very, very keen listener. Actually, that is the secret. If you want your preaching to be powerful, you have to be very good hearer, very good listener. Prabhupada said that that's how he became a good preacher, because he was a good hearer. If you cannot hear what others are saying, you will never be a good communicator. Never. You will never be a good communicator. But if you become very expert at how to hear what others are actually saying, what is the actual intention, the deep meaning behind their words, if you will carefully try to understand what they are talking about, then you will have no difficulty communicating with them. If you're having trouble communicating, you're not hearing nicely. You're hearing your own mental concoctions instead of what they're trying to tell you. That's why you're having difficulty. You have to hear what they're having to say. And if you can't hear clearly, like I'm hard of hearing now with my old man's body, so I have to just say, what is it? I have to make sure I have it clear. I don't try to rush through it. If I can't understand, then I have to ask for repetition. Do I really know what is being said? So really clearly know and understand what people are saying. Become a very good hearer, and then you'll be able to communicate very well. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Become a good hearer. That's the secret.
From the Shastra for communication.
Why are you so fussy? Why can't you take it from Prabhupada's pastimes also? Why only from the Shastra? Do you think that's the only way we know things? Only by Shastra? We know from Guru also. Why are you so demanding? Oh, only from Shastra. Why can't you see Prabhupada's example? That Srila Bhakti said unto Sarasvati Thakur, he would speak in very erudite English. And in the evening time, when they were in the Vrindavan Parikrama, the disciples, instead of going for darshan, pravachan, to hear his speaking, they would go for deity darshan. So in the evening lecture, no one would be there, just a small handful, but there was one pharmacist from Allahabad who would attend. Very rigidly, he would always hear what Guru Maharaj was saying. His name was Abhai Charan Day. You see? He said, I would understand or I would not understand, but I would go on hearing. And by that hearing, when they recommended to him, the disciples recommended, oh, Guru Maharaj, we would like to recommend for Diksha one Abhai Charan Day from Allahabad. He said, yes, he hears very nicely. I will accept him as my disciple. Why you cannot accept from Prabhupada's example? Why only from scripture? You see? Don't be demanding. You have to take whatever is given and say, no, I don't want the answer the way you're giving it. I want you to give me the answer the way I want it. No. That's not submissive hearing. That's your problem. You say, I want it from the scripture. The Prabhupada is as good as scripture. Every action he does is as good as scripture. You see, you have to take it from Prabhupada's pastime. Don't be so demanding. Oh, I have to have it from scripture. Because of your demanding nature, therefore you cannot hear very well. Therefore you cannot communicate very well. You're too demanding. Must become more submissive. Okay?
Sorry if I offend you.
Oh, no. This is teaching. There's no offense.
I didn't get
You're asking for help, and so I'm giving you what you need to hear I'm fully answering you. You want to know how I can better communicate. Now I'm pointing out your fault, why you're having difficulty communicating. It's not an offense. You are submissively asking me to instruct you in a humble mood, which is very good. I appreciate it. There's no offense. I'm simply trying to give you the proper understanding to answer the question you asked me. What's he saying?
It's easy to communicate in this way submissively with senior devotees because one is submissive naturally with the senior devotees.
Well, you have to be submissive to the junior devotees then. The example of Prabhupada Nanda Sarasvati was a devotee approaching a karmi. You understand? You have to learn how to, even with your subordinates, you have to learn how to submissively hear what they're saying. Your equals and your subordinates also. That's a sign of greatness. Prabhupada, I'll give you an example about Prabhupada, how submissive he was to his subordinate. Just imagine you're on a stage in front of 5,000 people giving a lecture, you see. How intense it is that you have to watch every gesture, your body language, your tone of voice. How intense of a meditation that is! You're in front of a stage, on a stage in front of 5,000 people at a Pandal program giving a lecture. And what happens if one brahmachari who's completely, what is the word? inconsiderate of time, place, and circumstance, he goes up and asks Prabhupada a philosophical question, which is completely unrelated to what's happening right there. And you know what Prabhupada did? He probably could have chastised. No, Prabhupada took the time out to submissively answer his question. So if Prabhupada can be submissive like that to even one of his disciples, who is definitely a subordinate, then why you cannot be submissive to your equals and your junior? You think you're a bigger Paramahamsa than Prabhupada? No, try to see from our Foundracharya what is the meaning of humility and develop that quality. I pray that I'm not offending you. I'm just trying to instruct you, trying to help you. That's all. I'm speaking out of love. But that is the actual means. You have to learn how to be submissive, even with your equals and your juniors also. Deal with them in such a way that you're very humble and submissive. That's how you will be effective communicating. So I think our time has run out. You normally end at 9 or 8:30? 9?
Latest 9.
So that gives 5 minutes privilege if there's any more questions. Because I'm only here for a couple of days in a year. If there's any more questions, you got 5 minutes. So if there is no questions, that's all right. We can have 5 more minutes to do some other things. So much service to do today. Grantharad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.